Welcome to the Elementary Librarian Podcast, where we discuss simple tips and tricks to help you take your school library to the next level. And now your host, Jocelyn Sam.
Welcome, Elementary Librarian listeners. Today, I am very excited to talk to one of the guybrarians out there, Mr. Andy Plemons. Today, we're going to talk about using augmented reality in the school library. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I have not talked to a lot of guys on the show, so this is really, really cool. I am also very excited to talk about some of the things that you're doing because I am a big nerd, and this stuff is very techy and cool, and I just love to read about some of the things that you're doing in your library. So let's go ahead and get started. Tell us a little bit about you, where you are, anything you would like the elementary librarian listeners to know.
Sure. Well, my name is Andy Plemons, and I am the media specialist at David C. Barrow Elementary in Athens, Georgia. I've been here for 6 years now, and before that, I was a third grade classroom teacher for 7 years, also in Georgia at the county right next to us. I absolutely love what I do here in the library. I try to be very public with the work that we do. I'm sharing through social media, through my Media Center blog, and presenting at conferences and on webinars and podcasts like we're doing now. I love to get my students' work out into the world, so I'm happy to be sharing it with you today.
Yes, that is awesome. Tell us a little bit about your blog, and I will put a link to it in the show notes, and just sort of what you've been doing with it.
I originally started my blog, it's just barrowmediacenter.com. I started the blog first as a way to document what I was doing and share with families here at the school, but what I quickly realized was that the blog has such a far-reaching audience beyond just the families that attend our school, so it ended up becoming a source of professional learning for other librarians that read it around the world. It also connected me with other opportunities for the students at my school. People will read what's on the blog and email me or call, or we'll do a Google Hangout or Skype and talk about projects that are going on in the space. And it's given my kids here at school an authentic audience for their work. So they know that whenever they do a project with me in the library, it's most likely going to end up on the blog, and there will be readers from around the world seeing what they've done here in our space.
Yes, that is great. I love just the thought of students knowing that, yes, this is something that other people will look at. So that is definitely a really cool aspect of having that blog for your library. Well, today we're talking about augmented reality, and that's actually something that I don't really know a whole lot about, despite being a big nerd, as I mentioned earlier. And so as I was talking to Andy about some different things that we can maybe talk about, he mentioned it, and I thought, you know, that would be pretty cool because I don't know that a lot of my listeners know a lot about it either. So first of all, tell us a little bit about what is augmented reality.
Sure. Well, a lot of people are probably familiar with virtual reality, where you kind of use technology to immerse yourself in another world. But with augmented reality, you actually see the world as it is right now, but embedded within the world are videos or sounds or pictures that just pop up based on these triggers that you create through different augmented reality tools. So there might be a picture hanging on the wall, and when you use an app on an iPad to hold it in front of that picture and it scans the picture, then something appears on top of that picture. So you still see the wall, you still see the world around you, but in it, the iPad or whatever technology you're using places something into that space that you can see. So it's kind of like it unlocks a secret portal in a way.
Okay. And how did you first learn about using augmented reality, like in a classroom setting? Is this something that you learned maybe at a conference or somewhere else on the internet?
Right. The first time that I saw it was actually a classroom teacher that had, and it wasn't at my school, but it was a classroom teacher had created a tour of his classroom so that on the door, there was a picture hanging on the door, and it said, use this, scan this picture with Arasma, which is one of the augmented reality apps that you use. And so what happened when you scanned that picture is that a video would pop up on top of that picture and start playing, and it would introduce you to his classroom without ever opening the door. So many times we have people touring through our schools to learn about it, you know, new families coming into the school or visitors. And, you know, sometimes it can be disruptive to have people constantly walking into your classroom. And I thought that's such a neat way to show people what is going on in your classroom without them really even stepping inside the door.
Right. That is a very interesting use of it that I would never have thought of. So once you saw this and started kind of wrapping your mind around it and thinking about what you could do with it, what are some of the ways that you have been using augmented reality in your school library?
Right. After I saw that, I did start kind of keeping my eyes open on blogs and social media about what people were using. That particular tool is a little more complex than some of the tools that are out there. And so I chose not to start with Arasma and chose to start somewhere else. There's an app called Fetch Lunch Rush, which is from PBS. And it's a math game, and teachers are always looking for ways to use technology in math here at our school. And a lot of times it's an area that I don't do as much with in the library. And so I was really excited to find this app that uses basic addition and subtraction facts. And what happens is you print these little pictures that are the codes that create the augmented reality, and on them are numbers. 1 through 10, and those numbers are the answers to the math problem. And then in the app, there's a little character that gives the kids math problems, and they solve them, and then they go around and find the matching picture that's the answer to the problem, and they hold their iPad in front of it, and then these little, if the answer is 8, then 8 little pieces of food magically appear on top of the card. And they tap it, and then it tells them if they got their answer right or wrong. So that was the very first thing that I tried, was the game.
Okay. So this is done using an iPad. Now, is it something that you actually print out? Is that what you said? I'm a little bit confused about that.
For that, you do actually print out the card. So augmented reality has to have some sort of trigger object that unlocks the picture or video or sound, whatever is embedded within the picture. That picture is what unlocks the videos. So for the Fetch Lunch Rush, you just print out these cards from the PBS site, and I just cut them up, and I kind of made it more like a scavenger hunt around the library, so I didn't put them all in one spot. So it also got the kids up and moving around the library, so they liked that aspect of it too. So they would roam around, they would find that picture that I had posted on the wall, and then they would scan it with their iPad.
Okay. So it's sort of like a QR code.
It is like a QR code, but rather than where a QR code, when you scan it, it takes you to the video. The difference is with augmented reality, the video actually appears kind of like it's hanging in the air.
Okay, I see. Yeah, that makes a little bit more sense to me. So, all right. So you talked about that you started with this math game. And so where did you go next?
From there, every September, we celebrate International Dot Day. And there are a lot of classrooms and libraries around the world that celebrate that day, inspired by Peter Reynolds' book, The Dot. And there's on that day, people, it's about all about creativity. And so people create dots in all kinds of creative ways. Well, there's an app called Color Mix, and it's spelled C-O-L-A-R instead of C-O-L-O-R, because the A-R stands for augmented reality. And so with that app, they released a dot coloring page. So one of the ways that we created dots for Dot Day was to color in this dot on the Color Mix coloring page. So again, you had to print out the page from the site, and the kids decorated their dot in whatever way they wanted to. And then once you scan the dot with your augmented reality app on the iPad, it would turn the dot into a three-dimensional ball. And it would, there were lots of different versions of it. So in one instance, it might just be a single ball that was spinning, kind of like a globe. And you could actually, with your finger on the iPad, you could touch your dot and rotate it around to see the different sides of it. And it looks like it's right there in the room with you on the iPad, because you see everything else around you just like you normally would, but there's this, you know, your dot turned into a sphere on the iPad. And you actually can take your hand around underneath the iPad so that it's in the view of the camera, and it looks like you're holding your ball in your hand. So the kids love that aspect, and you can take photographs of it. So you could extend that to all kinds of creative writing activities. So kids could write poetry about their dot that they had and have their hand, or you could, some kids kind of lean down and put their face by their dot so that it looked like the ball was about to get right in their face. And then it also would make little solar systems of their dot. So you could keep tapping the screen and it would still be the same colors, but it would might be multiples, or it might cause the ball to fall from the ceiling. But again, you still saw everything else in the room just like it normally was, just your dot that you created was magically there in the room too.
Wow, that is pretty neat. I have never even thought about that, but I really like how it makes it into something kind of totally new, so I can imagine that the students just love this.
And so there's another app that was just released this year that's very similar to Color Mix, and it's called Chromeville. And like I said, it was just released, so they're really working to fine-tune that app. It's not working quite as well as Color Mix does, but they're working very hard to get it up and running smoothly. But what I love about Chromeville is that they've created some settings of these different worlds that, like one is called Stone Town, and one is called Fire City, and one is called Greenland. And then in each of these settings, there's also a character. So the kids color the character and they color the setting. And then when they use the augmented reality app, the setting and character come to life. So there's music playing in the background and they see their character walking around and interacting with the setting. And so I use that just over the past couple of weeks. I've been using it with kindergarten, and they started by coloring their sheet and spent some time watching their character roaming around in the space, and they brainstormed a narrative story. And in class, they started working on that story, and they would come back to the library and watch their character some more on the iPads and revise their writing. And then we ended that project by Skyping with the developers of Chromeville yesterday. And the kids were able to share their stories with them and also talk to them about some of the things that weren't working with the app so that they could work on that for the next release. And also they gave us some tips about how we could make our coloring pages work better next time.
I love the way that this project really integrates and collaborates with not only the classroom teachers, but also the outside world. I mean, that's a real world application. And for such young students, you know, you wouldn't think that maybe they would be either able to do something like that or receptive to doing something like that. But I love how they're just so young and you know, they're doing these really higher level thinking skills. So I think that's awesome.
Thank you. And one of the things that I loved about it was that I saw kids write more in their stories than I'd ever seen a kindergartner write. And I think just the interactive elements of it really caused them to think and be able to visualize this world instead of just having it in their head. They had something very tangible to see through the iPad and the augmented reality.
Okay, awesome. So I know that those are some of the projects that you've done recently. What are you planning in the future, maybe for the next school year?
Yeah, well, one of the schools that we have started exploring this school year, but I think will be used a lot more next year, is an app called Layer. And Layer and Arasma that I've mentioned before are very similar to one another. And what we're working on right now, which is a big experiment, is that our fourth graders every year do a wax museum where in the past they have researched a person from history, and then they become that, they dress up as that person and become that person for the day. They write a little speech, and then all the parents and families come to the school and they walk through, and that student has to say their speech over and over and over and over as parents are walking by them. They kind of stop at the museum exhibit, and then the wax figure comes to life and they start talking. And so it's always a fun event, but the students always get really tired of having to say their little speech, you know, 100 times or more while the parents are walking through. And for some kids, it's also intimidating to have that many people walking through listening to you. So I thought, this year, let's try something very different. And so we're bringing Layer into this project. And so with Layer, just like with all the other augmented reality apps, you have to have an image to start with. And that image then unlocks whatever content you've embedded within that image. So where all the other apps I've mentioned, you actually print out pages, in Layer, you have to pick the image yourself. So for our fourth graders, they're creating an image of their person that they're researching in art. So the art teacher is collaborating with us on this project as well. So they're doing a drawing of themselves as that person in art. And we're going to use that as the trigger image that will hang out in the hallways. And then the kids are choosing whatever kind of project they want to. So if they want to do the more traditional dress up as your character and do a speech, they're still doing that, but they're videoing themselves, and then we're uploading it to YouTube and then attaching it to that picture. Some kids are using other tools like Telegami or Chatterpix, or they're making an Animoto. So they're pulling in all kinds of different technology tools. Some are making puppet shows and then videoing themselves doing the puppet show. But whatever they create, it's going to be linked to that picture through the Layer creator on the computer. And then when the parents come that day, they will carry iPads or their devices, whatever devices they bring, and they'll scan those images out in the hallway, and they'll get to watch the content that the students created. So the students actually don't even have to be out there in the hall, and they don't have to say their speech over and over and over. And another thing that just kind of came up this year is that we had students who really wanted to research a gender that was other than them. So there were boys who wanted to research a female from history, and they may not have been comfortable dressing up as that person in the traditional wax museum, but the way that we're doing it this way, they can create a different kind of project to showcase that person that they learned about.
Oh, I love that. That actually gives me some really great ideas. I'm working on some lesson plans for next year and about this kind of biography project, or, you know, working on a famous person. So this gives me a lot of options. So I appreciate you mentioning that. And along those lines, what if there's somebody out there who thinks that all this stuff sounds really cool, but maybe they don't have like an iPad or a tablet kind of device? Is there any way that you can do this without a tablet or iPad?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, you have to have something that unlocks the content that students are creating. But you certainly, we actually have a group of fourth graders who are doing a project, and they have explored that very question themselves. They're using Layer, but they thought, well, what if people don't have an iPad to scan our project? So what they're doing is they're still creating the Layer project that they're working on, but they're thinking, how can I upload this content in a different way that people could still get to it, even though it's not through the Layer app? So they're going to make just a Google site where all of the videos that they're creating that'll be linked to their images, they're also putting on that Google site so that people can get to it in a different way.
Right, right. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying, that maybe there's another option for people who don't have the iPad option or a tablet of some kind, because that's the case in my school and actually all the schools that I've worked in. We've just not had that kind of technology yet. So, you know, I think that there are some options for exploring some of these things, even if you don't have those apps per se. And you could still use the Telegami, the Chatterpix, Animoto, things of that nature to accomplish the same goal.
Right. Yes. And also just, I know a lot of schools are starting to really explore bring your own technology. And I have a set of iPads that I use in the library, and then they're borrowed throughout the school as well. So we have 30 iPads for our whole school to use. But it only takes one to do this kind of project. So I know I had some people who were saying, well, I only have, five iPads. I can't do that. But you can, because if you have one, then that's enough to do this kind of project and just really rethink how you use your time so that not everybody needs the iPad at the exact same time to do the project. And then there, the apps don't have to be used on the iPad as well. They can be used on, like an iPod Touch, for example.
Right, right. And in that case, you could even bring your own iPad if you had one from home, if your school district allows that.
Right.
So, okay. So we talked about how you're using it, some of your plans for the future. What do you think the benefits of using augmented reality in education are?
Well, I mean, I think one main thing is that it's just exciting for kids. It's a cool piece of technology that is really motivating for them. But more than that, I mean, I think it gives something tangible for kids to see, like that example that I gave with the kindergartners. We're looking at, if they drew a picture to them, or even just colored a page, to them, they may not be able to think in their mind what is going on in that image and develop a story. But through augmented reality, they can see that page come to life, and it gives them something a little more tangible and concrete to create a story from. I also think that for the math, for example, everything was built in right within that app. So if kids couldn't solve the math problem, they could count the objects on their screen. So they didn't have to go and get a separate piece of paper to have tools that help them solve the problem through the augmented reality on their screen. They could use what was on the screen to help them count. And I also think it allows us to interact with student projects in a new way and really take these multiple kinds of projects that kids create and sort of compile them all into one location that makes it an interactive exhibit for people to see outside of the classroom, outside of the library.
Yes, yes, I agree with that completely. What are some of the challenges that you faced along the way of using augmented reality?
One is definitely just the learning curve as far as how to get it to work. For example, with Chromebill, some of the kids, we spent a long time coloring their page, and then we got to the part of scan it, and it would not scan their page. And so we learned through that there are better techniques than others of how to color your page. Like in Chromebill, when it scans the page, it's reading all of the black lines on the page in order to unlock the three-dimensional object. And so if the kids had used a lot of black, or if they had colored in dark colors so that the lines couldn't be seen anymore, then their picture didn't work, and they had to start over. And so for some of them, it was really frustrating. To me, it was a great lesson. I talk to kids a lot about failure and how we learn from failure even more.
Absolutely.
But it's hard. I mean, it's hard for a kindergartner to do something and it doesn't work.
Yeah, they just see, you know, Mary's is working and mine's not.
Right. But I think, you know, the more and more we give kids those kinds of experiences to realize things don't have to be perfect the first time, and that even though it didn't work, we're gonna step back, we're gonna look at why it didn't work and make it work. We're gonna keep trying until we get it to work. So that, you know, those kids went and colored again and it worked great. We talked with the people at Chromebill and they gave us tips about what to do. And we also gave them that feedback too of saying, you know, we had people crying and we had look, and we took pictures of the ones that didn't work and sent it to them. And so they've been looking at analyzing those pictures and thinking, how can we make this app better during the next release? And I think that's really important, too. So that was one of the big, big challenges, was just, you know, when things don't really work the way that you want them to. And then with things like Erasma and Layer, you know, a challenge is just getting it all put together. For that one in particular, it takes some time to get all of those pieces put together in order for it to work in that interactive gallery. So this project that I'm doing right now is pretty large scale because it's with the entire fourth grade. So we've got about 80 kids who are all creating individual projects. So we're going to have 80 pictures hanging in the hallway that all unlock some kind of content. So we've got to get the pictures uploaded, and we have to get all of the projects linked to those pictures. And it's going to be a challenge to see it all come together in the next 2 weeks, but we're going to work hard to get it done.
Absolutely. I can't wait to read about it on your blog. I'll definitely be looking for that, and I will link to it. I'm assuming you'll write about that. I'll link to it in my show notes. Okay. How do you think that augmented reality impacts student learning? Have you had any kind of feedback from parents, teachers, administrators? I know that the students probably love it. How do you think that it's impacted student learning?
Well, I think going back to the motivation piece, when I presented this project to the whole fourth grade, every single student was excited about doing this project, and we're thinking about the past and the traditional way that they've done it, where they were just researching and writing down facts and then doing an oral presentation. I didn't see that same level of excitement from every single student. It definitely creates an energy, and I think which results in a higher quality product in the end. And the same thing with the kindergartners. You know, the stories that they wrote were longer than any story that they have written this year. And not that they were longer, but they were quality stories. They developed their character and they thought about the beginning, the middle, and the end of their story. And it all was based out of what they saw in that augmented reality app brainstorming phases. So certainly think that motivation piece is huge. But as far as parents, you know, I haven't had as many parents use it. So it's going to be interesting when the parents come to observe this or tour this gallery next week to see what their reaction is, what they think about it. I mean, I have a feeling that they're going to like it, and being able to see the kinds of technology that their children have created here at school.
Right, right. I totally agree. What about your administration? Have they had any type of reaction?
They, you know, my principal, it's new to her, just like it's new to a lot of people. So, you know, when we first changed the wax museum, you know, she was kind of wondering about that, or, you know, what, you know, this is different than anything we've ever done, and, you know, what's it going to look like? And so she certainly didn't say don't do it, but I think she's curious to see how it's going to turn out. But she loves the idea, and she's very supportive of trying something new. When we did the dots, we did a gallery of those on the windows that classes were able to come through and tour. And so my administrators have saw that in action. But this project, the Wax Museum project, will be the largest scale project that they've seen, with a lot of student content that's based in the standards that they learn about in that grade level.
Yes, and what a wonderful advertisement for the library. I love how all of this is just centered around the school library, and I think that's just awesome.
Thank you.
If somebody is listening out there and they're thinking, you know, this augmented reality sounds pretty cool and it's something I might like to take on for the next upcoming school year, what are some things that you can tell them, you know, where should they start? What are some baby steps to getting started in this?
Well, I think back to my own kind of journey into this. I certainly didn't start with this project that I've just been describing. I started by looking at some of these, you know, kind of one-time apps, that the coloring sheet from Layer or the Fetch Lunch Rush. So looking, you know, and new things are coming out all the time. So looking for something that would be a good, very small kind of project to start with, and then start thinking more toward a larger project involving these tools that are a little more complex, like Layer and Erasma. I know there are a lot of people who use Twitter to develop their professional learning networks, and augmented reality is actually a hashtag that people use. So if you just go on to Twitter and do a search for augmented reality, you can stay up to date on what kinds of things are coming out, because there are a lot of posts on there, but you also can see what people are doing and how they're using it in education, but just also in the professional world as well, or outside of education as well. Because Layer and Erasma really weren't built as education tools. They were used more for advertising. But there are a lot of people who have taken those tools and started to use them in education.
Yes, yes, and that is awesome. I love it when we educators do cool stuff like that. So thanks for those tips, and I'm sure that people will be looking up these different apps, and I will attempt to link to all of those in the show notes. So be sure to check out the show notes at elementarylibrarian.com. Just click on podcast, and you will see the podcast about augmented reality. If people have questions about things that we've discussed today, what would be a good way for them to get in touch with you?
Well, they certainly can send me tweets on Twitter. Also, I'll share my email with you as well. So people are welcome to email me or tweet. Our library has a Facebook page where I post a lot of the projects that we do. So they're welcome to make comments on the library Facebook page or our blog as well. Look at those all the time, so I will be happy to communicate in multiple ways, because that's how I communicate with all the families here at school. I know people communicate in more than just email and phone conversations, so I try to stay active on all those different circuits.
Okay, that is awesome. I think it's been a great conversation today. I have certainly learned a lot, and I will be looking into all of these different apps just to see what we can do just to make our teaching just more enjoyable, more memorable for our students, and more beneficial for them. And I was going to mention it earlier, you know, a lot of these skills that you're talking about, they're aligned right with the Common Core standards. So all of these things are just so relevant to what we're doing today in the 21st century, and I think that's just great.
Thank you. I've enjoyed talking with you today.
Yes, thank you so much for your time and just for sharing with us about augmented reality. And I hope that you have a great rest of the school year. Thanks so much, Andy.
Thank you very much.
I hope y'all enjoyed this enlightening discussion on augmented reality. It was a lot of fun to talk about something kind of techy and a little nerdy, because that's the kind of thing that I like. So I hope that you guys enjoyed it also. Be sure to check out the show notes. If you go to elementarylibrarian.com/podcast19, you will find the show notes from the show today with Andy. And again, we'd like to thank our special guest, Andy Plemons, for being on the podcast. If you would like to send him a tweet, I have included his Twitter handle on the show notes. And so it'd be great if you'd just go by and thank him for being on the Elementary Librarian podcast. Also, I got a Facebook message today from librarian Mary Craig in Charlottesville, Virginia, and she is a part of something called Books on Bikes, and they are doing a Kickstarter campaign to raise money for this summer program in Charlottesville. So if you would like to help them out, just go to my show notes again, elementarylibrarian.com/podcast19, and check out this project, and hopefully you will be able to support that endeavor. I hope that some of you will do that. And so I am working very, very hard on 2014-2015 library lesson plans. I have really just been digging into the standards and trying to make the absolute best product that I can based off your feedback and some things that I kind of wanted to change about the lesson plans. I'm really excited about the way it's going, and I still have a lot of work to do. So be looking for information about that coming up this summer. The lesson plans themselves will be available sometime around July 1st. So just be looking out for that. If you're not a part of the Elementary Librarian Facebook page, I really encourage you to get on there. We are engaging together just about every day of the week. So check that out if you have not liked the Elementary Librarian Facebook page. And also on Twitter, I'm up to almost 1,000 followers. I'm very excited about that. So if you have not followed me on Twitter yet, please do so. It's at @ELEM_librarian, and I will put a link to that in the show notes. Thanks again for listening. You guys are amazing, and I hope that you have a great day.
For listening to the Elementary Librarian Podcast, brought to you by elementarylibrarian.com.